This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فوربك لنحشرنهم والشياطين ثم لنحضرنهم حول جهنم جثيا ثم لننزعن من كل شيعة أيهم أشد على الرحمن عتيا. صدق الله العظيم. So we were in the discussion of Ubay bin Khalaf and his arrogance, his pride, his haughtiness, where he was challenging the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding resurrection. And we cited different verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the absolute reality of resurrection. وَأَنَّكَ تَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect everyone who will be lowered into the grave, and every person will stand before Allah. But on a side note, we again are reminded about the harm of arrogance. And what is arrogance? Al-kibru batru al-haqqi wa ghamtu an-nas. Pride in essence is the denial of the truth and to perceive others inferior. I am above you. I am above you. Maymun bin Mahran, who was one of the ministers in the cabinet of Umar bin Abdulaziz, he says, I went to visit Umar bin Abdulaziz rahimahullah. فوجدته يكتب رسالة إلى ابنه عبد الملك يعظه فيها وينصحه. In which he was advising his son. And amongst the advisors he wrote to his son was, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ أَحَقَّ مَنْ وَعَى عَنِّي وَفَهِمَ قَوْلِي لَأَنْتَ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْنَا فِي صَغِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَكَبِيرِ. Oh my son, I am optimistic that you would heed my call. And I remind you to reflect over the bounties, the boons and the favors of Allah upon us. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرَ وَالْعَظَمَةَ. And beware of pride and arrogance. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَهُوَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Because pride comes from the devil, and the devil is the arch enemy of man. وَعْلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَبْعَثْ إِلَيْكَ بِكِتَابِي هَذَا لِأَمْرٍ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ فَمَا عَرَفْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ إِعْجَابِكَ بِنَفْسِكَ وَلَوْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْإِعْجَابُ خَرَجَ بِكَ إِلَى مَا أَكْرَهُ لَرَأَيْتَ مِنِّي مَا تَكْرَهُ. La ilaha illallah. How profound, how deep, how amazing these advisors are. Oh my son, I'm not writing to you because I've received any disturbing news. I'm quite happy with you as a son, and you've been an amazing child. However, occasionally I kind of get the hint of this i'jab in you. What is i'jab? Where you become impressed with yourself. You become i'jabu kulli dhi ra'yin bi ra'yi. You become amazed by your own view. You become amazed by yourself. You become impressed by yourself. وَلَوْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْإِعْجَابُ خَرَجَ بِكَ إِلَى مَا أَكْرَهُ لَرَأَيْتَ مِنِّي مَا تَكْرَهُ. And if I were to see the display of this i'jab in you, this pride in you, this self-conceit in you, then I'm afraid you're going to be exposed to an angle from my side which you might not like. In Kitab al-Ujb, in Bab al-Ujb, in Tanbih al-Ghafilin, there is this incident mentioned of one of the great scholars. He said, لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ نَائِمَا. If I were to spend the night sleeping and then get up nadima, regretting that I did not offer nocturnal optional prayer, I prefer that than spending the night in worship, in optional worship. And of course, we're not talking of the mandatory performance of Fajr. Then spending the night in optional nocturnal prayer and getting up in the morning proud and arrogant that I am better than others. I often quote this particular reflection from the Quran, and it is very scary. In Juz 22, chapter 35, Surah Fatir, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the vow and the oath that the disbelievers of Makkah had sworn. وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. They had taken this firm vow. لَإِنْ جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ. If a warner comes to them, لَيَكُونُنَّ أَهْدَى مِنْ إِحْدَى الْأُمَمْ. Then they will be more guided than all nations. So unlike other nations who opposed and challenged their prophets, the disbelievers of Makkah took a firm vow that they would be very reformed. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ When finally the Prophet came and the warner came, nay, the greatest of prophets, خَيْرُ الْبَشَرِ, the paragon of Allah's creation, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadly, unfortunately, tragically, مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا It increased them in their aversion to the truth. Reason being, istikbaran fil ard. They were proud on earth. They were arrogant. Wa makra sayyi. And they would devise evil and cunning plots, etc. Under this ayah in Bayanul Quran, it is written, dalla ala ayni ma qalahu al-qawmu min anna fasid al-isti'dadi rubama yazdadu maraduhu بالأوراد والأشغال وسببه في الأكثر الكبر حيث يعد نفسه من الخواص الممتازين على العوام وإليه يشير قوله تعالى استكبارا في الأرض ومكر السيء Please, you could see the reference there. This is precisely what the mystics say, that at times a person with a corrupted nature, and that is a proud individual, an arrogant individual, his condition is such, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِ مَا قَالَهُ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ أَنَّ رُبَمَا يَزْدَادُ مَرَضُهُ At times, by the sheer association, and I use the word sheer, or the mere recitation of certain things, actually can add to his spiritual malady. Why? Because now he perceives himself, يَعُدُّ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْخَوَاسِ I am above the general people. I am in a spiritual reformation program. I have a mentor. I'm a disciple. I read the X amount of, things daily. You don't read. So he actually starts claiming superiority. So the recitation which ought to reform him, for him it's actually having an adverse effect because of his arrogance. حَيْثُ يَعُدُّ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْخَوَاسِ الْمُمْتَازِينَ عَلَى الْعَوَامِ And he now distinguishes himself from the general people. I belong to a different, an elite club or an elite class. And sadly, this has become a common practice. So by your association, you ought to adopt humility. You ought to adopt humility. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I am one from amongst the believers and not perceive yourself to be above others. After all, was it not the very statement of Ana khayrun min, that I am better than Adam, that spelled the fall and the destruction and the collapse of the devil? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So yes, Ubay bin Khalaf, unfortunately, proud, arrogant, haughty, challenging the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can Allah, will Allah, is it possible for Allah to resurrect? Absolutely. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ It is Allah who created the first time, and it is Allah who will create the second time. And logically speaking, to do something the second time is easier. The scholars will tell you the expression of أَهْوَنُ يَا easier is in the context of humans. Otherwise, for Allah, everything is easy. There's nothing as easier. Everything is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the sheer intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is existence. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to this arrogant, haughty, proud individual in verse 68 of chapter 19? فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ By your Rabb, Allah swears an oath. We will certainly gather them and the shayateen, meaning the criminal, the disbeliever, will be shackled up with his devil, with his demon, and they will be resurrected. We shall present them before Jahannam, jithiyya, hobbling on their knees. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا Jithiyya, the plural of jathin, meaning they won't able to stand and they will collapse and they'll be hobbling around. They would be in a position of feebleness, weakness, and they will not have any form of firmness or stability. So you will certainly be resurrected. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Kahf? That when Allah will resurrect them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّنْ نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا we recreated you and resurrected you just like we had created you on the first instance, and you did not believe in the reality, but here it is before you. Furthermore, in verse 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَنَازِعَنَّ مِن كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيَّةٍ نَزَعَ يَنْزِعُ to remove, to extract, to separate. Then we shall definitely separate from every group those who were most rebellious against Rahman. So in other words, the criminal, his devil, will be hurled into hell. They will be hobbling around on their knees. They will be screaming. They will be in a pitiful state, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, although they will be common in eternity in hell because of disbelief, however, those from within them, those from within their ranks, who were more evil, more wicked, more nasty, who were more rebellious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be separated first. They will be separated. Just as the noble from amongst the believers, the pious from amongst the believers, of course, the Anbiya, the Sahaba, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, they will be privileged with the first entry into paradise. They will be privileged with the first entry into paradise, right? Because of their nobility, their rank, their status. And others would also follow Ashabul Yameen, Muqarrabun, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, the criminals, the sinners, the wicked people, we will separate those. Thumma then, lananzi'anna, we will separate. Min kulli shi'atin, from every group. Ayyuhum ashaddu ala rahmani itiyya, the one who transgressed the most, who rebelled the most. You talk of Fir'aun and his arrogance. You talk of Fir'aun and his pride. Alaysa li mulku Misra. أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي. Doesn't this empire of Egypt belong to me and these rivers flowing beneath my palace? أم أنا خير من هذا الذي هو مهين. أم in the meaning of bull. Am I not more superior than this person? نعوذ بالله. سيدنا موسى عليه السلام, who he references as disgraced and humiliated. ولا يكاد يبين, and he can barely express and articulate himself. فلولا ألقي عليه أسورة من ذهب أو جاء معه الملائكة مقترنين. So why doesn't he enjoy the perks and the privileges of bracelets and of an entourage and a cavalcade and a presence around him to convince us that he is a prophet? That was the arrogance of Pharaoh. أنا ربكم الأعلى. I am your supreme Lord. I am your supreme Lord. يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار. He will lead his nation and bring them to hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 69, ثم لننزعن. Then we will separate من كل شيعة, from every group, أيهم, the one أشد على الرحمن عتيا, who rebel the most against Allah. Now this is the beauty when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge is complete. You know, a teacher is out of the class, a parent is out, the boss is out, and then when he arrives or she arrives, they discover that things are not in order. And he gets a hint and an idea that, you know what, it hasn't been structured, there's been some glitches here, there's been some altercations, and certain things have occurred. Now he wants to take some disciplinary measures. So then he calls a person in charge. Now I need you to be honest. I need you to be honest. We need to get the camera footage. We need to find out who did what. I need to know the sequence of events. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَوْلَى بِهَا صِلِيَّةً. Verse 70, then we will know best who deserves the most to enter Jahannam. In other words, we're going to separate the most wicked criminals, and our knowledge is enough. We don't need to ask the malaika. We don't need to question who transgressed the most, who was the most evil, who was the most wicked. Allah says, ثُمَّ then, لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ, we know best. بِالَّذِينَ those, أَوْلَى, who are most deserving. صِلِيَّ, صَلِيَّ means to enter into hell. سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا, we will make them enter into hell. So who is the most criminal and who is the most wicked? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is in his knowledge. And likewise, my brother and my sister, When you're performing a good action, Allah is aware of the details, the circumstances. Sometimes two people might perform the same action, but the backdrop and the context and the circumstances of both might differ. By way of example, two people came for Fajr Salah to the masjid. They offered the Fajr. It was obligatory upon both adult, matured males. They came to the masjid, offered it. But for one person, he had a bad night. He had a restless night. It was unwell, sick. There were so many other factors. While another person, staying close to the masjid, had a good night, a peaceful night. And it was quite easy. He hopped out of his bed, two steps into the masjid. And a third person, I remember, I was in Mombasa. And we had taken a ferry across to a particular place. The name of that location slips my mind. And I met with an imam there, a local, native, indigenous imam, who would ride his bicycle to a particular musalla 10 kilometers to lead the prayer. And then he would go for Fajr and come back, and then go for Dhuhr and come back. And then he would ride back for Asr, and then of course spend the till Isha, because it was too difficult. I mean, 10 kilometers commuting back and forth, that's not simple. Diyarakum tuktabu atharukum. Where the Prophet ﷺ said to a particular tribe that wanted to relocate and come close to the masjid, and he ﷺ said, Diyarakum ay ilzamu diyarakum. Stay where you are, and on your every step you will be rewarded. On your every step you will be rewarded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of who is the most noblest, and this is the challenge humans have. You want to reward, but you don't have the total detail of anything. Likewise, you want to take action and retribution against the criminal, but it takes years before all the evidence is gathered. Sometimes people pass away in the process, some people distort the evidence, etc. And hence the Quran says that وَلَا تَسْأَمُوا أَن تَكْتُبُ, that when you are summoned to give any evidence, then come forward and give the evidence. Give the evidence so that justice can prevail. But in the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 70, chapter 19, ثُمَّ لَنَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَوْلَى بِهَا صِلِيَّ. We know who from amongst them is most deserving. Verse 71, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Every one of you will pass by it. This is a decree that has been passed by your Lord. Okay. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every one of you will pass by hell. كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. مَقْضِيًّا, decided, حَتْمًا, you know, it's going to happen, inevitable. So every one of you will cross it. Now there's a, you know, academic debate amongst the scholars. Some say every one of you refers to the disbelievers who were previously referenced in a ghaib sigha, in an indirect way, now in a direct way, with iltifat min al ghaib ila al hadir, addressing them that each one of you will enter hell. While others say, no, each one of you here means Muslim and non-Muslim. Those who say that the believer will not enter it, they argue that Allah says on the, regarding the believer, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ, that the pious will be kept at a distance from hell. They argue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَحْزُنُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ, that the pious would be exempted and protected against the supreme horror of the day of Qiyamah. So these are their arguments to say that the pious will not enter hell. While the overwhelming view of the scholars is that everyone will enter, the disbeliever, which we refer to as the bridge, the sirat, the crossing of the bridge, the disbelievers will enter and they will fall into it, and for the believers will be uburan, they will pass across. And of course, the pious will go very swiftly. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make the dua, Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim, Allah take my nation across safely and easily. So the vast majority of the scholars say everybody will cross. The believers will get by and make it across, while the disbelievers will fall in. Now, what's the wisdom of the believers crossing by? What's the wisdom of the believers crossing by as well? The scholars say when the believers will cross by, they will observe what is happening in hell, and this will allow them to value Jannah even more. When you see somebody else in pain and agony, it makes you appreciate. And likewise, it will add to, this is mentioned in Tafsir Kabir, I read it myself, Fakhruddin Razi has actually highlighted 8 different benefits of why the believer will cross over this bridge and the disbeliever will fall. It will add to the embarrassment of the disbeliever, who apart from his suffering will now be exposed to the believer. So he's seen the believer going across and making his way, and he's seen, he's sitting here in hell and he's suffering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. That every one of you will cross it. This is a decree from the Almighty. I leave you with a profound reflection on this verse. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu was sitting with his wife in a very private, relaxed moment. And he started crying. And then he looked at his wife and he observed she was crying. So he asked his wife, "Ma yubkiik? What makes you cry, O my beloved?" And she said, "Ra'aytuka tabki fabakait." I seen you crying and it made me cry. Wow, look at the bond. Look at the relation. Just to know my hubby is crying or my spouse is crying is enough to make me cry. And he said, the thing that makes me cry is that I reflected over this verse, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Allah says, everybody will have to cross hell. But in that verse, Allah did not say, everyone will make it across. And that is what gives me a shiver in my back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us conscious of akhirah so that we can be amongst those fortunate people who also prepare for akhirah. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.